Support for NPR podcasts comes from Pabst Brewing, supporting live music and local artists nationwide, and proud supporter of NPR Music Podcasts at PabstBlueRibbon.com.
Welcome to another edition of What Would Rob Do? A guide to life's most trying dilemmas. I'm Luke Burbank, and with me, of course, is intrepid, what would you call yourself, Rob, by the way?
Just a guy who's been through a lot.
With us, of course, is intrepid guy who's been through a lot, Rob Sachs. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Luke.
So what's the vexing conundrum that you're going to take on today?
Well, today we're going to talk about what to do at a buffet. I'm talking about, you know, you go in there, you get your plate, you see mounds and mounds of food, mm-hmm. and you're thinking, uh-oh, how do I attack this? How do I approach this?
How complicated can it really be, though? I mean, it's like there's a lot of food, you're hungry. I mean, so you eat, you know, your body weight in shrimp scampi. Is that, I mean, did anyone really lose in that process?
It's not really a loss, but it's not really a gain, though. I mean, mm-hmm. if you want to master a buffet and be full and have all the different cuisines represented in your stomach by the end of your eating session, mm-hmm. you have to really strategize to go through this. And there's booby traps in these buffets that are out there that you have to watch out for.
A lot of buffets are all about fillers because they have so much space and so many people going through it. They put a lot of nonsense food, you know, five different kinds of pasta and a bunch of starches and stuff.
Now, that there was Craig Taylor. He's the executive chef of TI. It's considered one of the premium buffets in the land of buffets. And do you know where that is? Do you know where TI is?
I'm going to think it's at the Treasure Island. What used to be the Treasure Island?
It's at MGM, yeah.
Well, Rob, I mean, look, Vegas, famous for the buffet. They're famous for two things, really, buffets and how much Luke Burbank loses there playing blackjack. I mean, that's what the city's known for, let's be honest. So, I mean, anywhere you go, if it's TI or if it's the buffet at the Mirage, any Vegas buffet is going to be, you know, pretty awesome, right?
You're right. I mean, Vegas, land of buffets, there are a lot of great places to choose from. It's not just TI. But what you have to watch out for is that it's an all-you-can-eat buffet because mm-hmm. there's a couple of buffets here in D.C. where, you know, they have the whole, oh, okay, $5.95 per pound. Mm-hmm. Watch out because now, son, you're getting a $10 salad because you just paid all this money for really heavy croutons.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, those baby corns is like 50
cents
per
down.
Tiny
so,
corn.
So unless you want a meal of like meringues, which actually, you know, you could work that out into your favor, I would say stay away from the stuff that weighs you.
So there are actually, I didn't realize this, in Vegas too, are there buffets where it's you don't pay a flat fee to get in, you actually just pay based on how much the food weighs?
It's not on the strip. It's way off the strip. Deep off the strip.
Yeah, I don't think I want to. There's probably so many problems with heading to those casinos and those buffets that the weighing of the food is just the beginning of the heartbreak.
Also, second-tier topless dancers on those casinos. So.
Many of whom actually are working at the carving station.
Right.
Right?
You don't want to go anywhere near these casinos.
Right. Okay. Anytime a stripper's wearing a hairnet, it's probably a bad sign.
Bad idea.
So, fine. You want to stay away from the buffets where they weigh the food, and you want to probably stay on the strip for safety reasons on multiple levels. So let's say you're going to a place like TI, the buffet at the MGM. What do you do when you get there? You're one of the good ones now.
Right. Now, the first thing you need to do is show some restraint. You know, there's amazing foods all around you, but you have to stop, take a breather, and, you know, come up with a game plan. I talked about this with Craig Taylor.
You should definitely walk the buffet and before you start loading up your plate.
Figure out how you're going to zigzag through because, you know, maybe there's good food over here, but there's a huge line. Maybe, you know, a Boy Scout troop just came in and they're like, you know, hogging the carving station. You want to plan to come back. Maybe that's on your second round. So plan your attack. That's what you got to do.
Okay, so you find a piece of high ground, possibly standing on top of a mountain of dinner rolls, and you survey the entire buffet. Okay, that's a good start. You want to see what's out there. What do you do next?
A lot of people, they think, oh, I'm going for dinner. I'm going to start off with a salad. Mm-hmm. Then I'm going to move on to my main course. Then I'm going to hit up dessert, and it's going to be a nice, you know, meal that we're used to and accustomed to. No, buffets, all rules are off the table. You have to work the buffet to maximize where the best food is, where the hottest food is at the exact time. So you have to be loading up your plate strategically, and you can have some really unique food combinations here.
With a buffet, you can start with dessert and then make your way back towards the sushi.
It's great. It can do anything you want. You can eat sushi with a donut.
Exactly.
It all works.
But Robert, maybe for you it does, but that sounds so gross to me. I mean, I know maybe I'm doing everything right, but that sounds like a terrible meal.
Your gut doesn't know which came in first, which came in last. You know, in the end, it's just a mush in your stomach. It's good. it works.
So you talk to this Craig guy, this like buffet master. What like secrets of the buffet did he tell you?
Well, he did confirm one long-standing suspicion I had.
It seems like the really good stuff is the hardest to reach. Is that something buffet guys know about? Like if it's a more expensive food item, they're going to make it hard to get to?
No, we would never do anything like that.
But I mean,
that would be like not putting clocks in a casino or something like that, you know?
See, it's a huge scam. You see like the huge jumbo shrimp, but you can barely reach them. That's why I say before you go to a buffet, you want to do some wrist exercises, you want to do some stretching, because you know the primo food you're going to have to work to get.
And it sounds like hunger is the enemy, because if you're super hungry, you know they say don't go grocery shopping when you're hungry because it'll cause you to, you know, just buy everything you see. It sounds like to really do this thing right, you shouldn't, which is ironic, you really shouldn't be hungry when you go to the buffet.
No, I mean, you need a little time to kind of think it over. If you're hungry, you're going to get nailed by the fillers. You're just going to be eating pasta, and they're just going to be laughing at you. They're like, you just paid $20 for something that cost us 2 cents. I talked about this with Craig Taylor.
What do you think is your best food? If I could only spend my time waiting for this, this is what I should wait for.
It would be the barbecue station. That's the bomb.
And is that the one that costs you guys the most, too?
Probably.
Yeah?
Yeah, so, the ribs aren't cheap.
So you can walk out knowing that I got my full money's worth if I hit the barbecue, because I really stuck it to the MGM by taking their most expensive item.
That's right.
You know what, Luke? There's nothing better when you get wiped out at the craps table, or in your instance, the blackjack table, than sticking it to the casinos by taking all their prime meat.
That'll do it. Thanks for listening to What Would Rob Do? A Guide to Life's Most Trying Dilemmas. I'm Luke Burbank.
And I'm Rob Sachs.